Traffic and charges from Milwaukee all the way to Chicago. Disturbing story, but you got to be aware so that you can protect your kids, protect your girls, protect your spouses, even protect yourself.
Trafficked on tape. Two people are charged after investigators say they lured two girls from a Milwaukee gas station and then forced them into prostitution.
Prosecutors say the man and woman then drove the girls to Chicago to perform sex acts. Ashley Sears is in the studio with more on the surveillance video from the gas station. Ashley?
And Ted, that video shows a car pulling up to a group of girls. Investigators say a woman coerced two of them into the vehicle. On any given day, there's a lot of traffic along Hampton and 60th. Last week, it was a different type of traffic that led police here. Investigators say 32-year-old Katiana Collins and 49-year-old James Crump pulled into the gas station parking lot, not looking to fill up. Surveillance shows them in a red Mazda, stopping briefly to chat with a group of girls. When the group goes inside, investigators say Collins was right behind them. She's seen chatting with them for several minutes, even buying them food before they all walk out together. After a brief discussion, two girls get in a Mazda and drive away. Investigators say they didn't know Crump was also in the car and told the 15-year-olds they were going to Chicago. The girls told police Crump pulled out a black handgun, pointed it at their heads, telling them they'd be forced to perform sex acts. When they got to the Windy City, the teens say Crump and Collins prostituted them, taking all of their money. Investigators say Crump and Collins drove the girls back to Milwaukee, dropped them off at home, and told them they'd be back in a few days.
The girls went to family and told them what happened and said they had Collins' cell phone number. Investigators say one of those adults pretended to be one of the girls and said she'd meet up with Collins in a text message. Instead, she recorded Crump and Collins and got their plates. They went to police, who later arrested them.
So let me get this straight. I just want to make sure that we all on the same page here, guys. Let's just put it all in perspective before we go over to the next story. This demon convinced y'all not toddlers, and I'm definitely not victim shaming, but I'm just curious before we actually hold them accountable. Have y'all ever talked to y'all children and said, hey, don't ever take candy from strangers, stranger danger, if anything ever happens? Like, that's one of the first things right after my daughter said, dad, that's one of the first things that we taught her is, hey, listen, never get in the car with nobody. Be very, very careful. If you see somebody, scream, run, yell, whatever. How did a woman that looks like this convince y'all to get in a Mazda after going into the gas station and buying some snacks for y'all? How is that possible? What is it that she could have possibly said to y'all that would convince you to get in a car with a stranger that looked like this inside of a red Mazda? And it's not that I'm blaming the victims. I'm just trying to understand. I'm always trying to figure out what would cause somebody to even put themselves in that position in the first place. I'd be so confused. Like, wait a minute. You just jumped in a car with a random stranger that followed you out of the gas station? Protect your kids, man. Teach them, protect them. Make sure that y'all do the right thing. They'll never, ever be able to get their innocence back. It's really not their fault. Let's be very, very clear. It's not their fault. However, I am always looking to understand, but protect your kids because you don't want to find them in a situation where they getting in somebody's car and then next thing you know, they driving them over to Chicago in order to be slutted out on some prostitution type stuff. And then they going to have trauma growing up and be blaming men for all of their problems. Anyways, moving over into the next story, 50 Cent actually opened G-Unit Studios in Shreveport, Louisiana. Check it out.
This is NBC6 News at 10. Thank you for joining us. I'm Alexandra Meacham. It is the big day for the city of Shreveport as Curtis 50 Cent Jackson makes his grand arrival to town. It is our top story tonight. After his public announcement, Mr. Jackson went inside Government Plaza to sign his deal and speak to the media. NBC6's Miriam Samake got to cover all the excitement. She joins us live from a party 50 Cent hosted earlier tonight. Hi, Miriam.
Well, hi, Alex. We're here at Independence Stadium.
Thank y'all for the super chats. Definitely going to be reading those shortly.
Where 50 Cent was just celebrating the launch of G-Unit Studios with family, friends, and loved ones. Earlier today at that press conference, 50 Cent said he is excited to make Shreveport an entertainment capital.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault declared today Curtis 50 Cent Jackson Day at a press conference celebrating 50 Cent's new business venture, G-Unit Studios.
Curtis 50 Cent Jackson.
In December 2023, Shreveport City Council voted unanimously to lease Millennium Studios to 50 Cent. At the press conference, 50 Cent and Mayor Tom Arsenault signed the contract for a 30-year agreement in Millennium Studios, with an option to renew for 15 years. 50 Cent says non-scripted productions are expected to begin in July, and scripted productions will start in January. He says the process for finding employees and local businesses to work with have already begun.
You've seen some of the good things that Tyler Perry done in Atlanta, and you'll see this mirror that to a degree at points, because a lot of the material that I've created is premium television, so it's like bigger productions. Financially, it's more money being put into those projects than what the Tyler Perry budgets are, so they'll see me be able to do things at a different rate out here.
50 Cent hopes to foster talent, create opportunities, and build a community. His G-Unity Foundation empowers urban youth to develop skills they need to excel at life. He says he plans to bring the project to Shreveport.
I created a program that was three schools initially, and I'll do it here too. I picked those areas that are the rougher areas because that's where I was at. So a little bit selfish in that way, but I'll get to the whole Shreveport.
He also said he would be looking to purchase real estate in Shreveport with the hopes of investing in the city's nightlife with events and state-of-the-art production.
And you got a good mayor. You got a good mayor. Put it together.
We did.
And the party here has concluded, but 50 Cent says that betting on him is not a gamble, it's a sure thing. He says that Shreveport is going to soon feel the impact of G-Unit Studios. Reporting live outside of Independence Stadium, Miriam Smake for NBC6 News.
Congratulations to Fifth. I always like to see people doing positive things, productive things, as long as it yields, results in a positive way, and it's not actually, tearing apart the community, or it ain't no drugs being flooded. You can't do nothing but salute the bro. So shout out to 50 Cent. Now, I know that him congratulating and shaking hands with that mayor, Umar Johnson, not going to be happy about that. So, Fifth, you are going to have some pushback. Even when you do something positive, you're going to get it negative, because you shaking that mayor's hand and saying you got a good mayor over there in Shreveport and getting that deal done, Umar Johnson don't like snow hairs. Umar Johnson don't like snow hairs, okay? He don't like y'all shaking hands with white people. But shout out to 50 for doing something positive, for impacting people, for expanding his business and doing great things. So I have nothing but good things to say about 50 Cent. And this is a new deal over here in Shreveport, Louisiana. And Louisiana need it. It's a town that actually needs growth. A lot of these smaller cities don't get the love and the shine and the investment that they should. But people really need to start looking into it from a business perspective as far as investing in these smaller towns. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that smaller towns would be better for y'all budgets, and it would be more conducive to y'all lifestyle. I know everybody want to live in Miami. Everybody want to move and shake down in Atlanta. Everybody want to go down to Houston. You want to go out to L.A. Y'all priced out. It's priced out. If I'm a person that's looking to expand my business or grow, or I'm looking to partner with a community or legislators locally in a town, you'll get way further. I think that 50 is a genius in this. He's really, really smart. And I think that if y'all even wanted to adjust and get a lower cost of living and a greater opportunities, and you can actually leverage the fact that you can work remotely or stuff, you know, something like that, look into these smaller towns. That's why I'm flying where I'm flying later on today, is because, you know, I like towns that may not be huge cities, you know, and I like to visit the bigger cities also, but I'm gonna just be honest with you. New York, Chicago, Miami, all of those places is full. They big, they full. Houston, all of that, they full, man. And right now, most of them is going through a contracted period of, need I say, losing population outside of continuing to grow it with the migrant crisis. But shout out to 50 Cent. I think that that was a great story. That was a phenomenal thing for him to be able to invest in Shreveport, Louisiana. I'd be curious as to why it is that he picked Shreveport, Louisiana. Maybe I need to do an interview with 50 and see if I can reach out to him. Anyways, neither here nor there. And then last but not least, Israel launched a retaliatory strike towards Iran overnight. Check it out.
Overnight, Israel responding to Iran's first direct attack on the country, striking inside Iran. Matt Gutman is in Tel Aviv tracking the latest for us. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Michael. For several hours overnight, as we learned of those explosions in Iran, there was significant concern of an all-out war erupting between Israel and Iran. But as the sun came up in the region, Iran started downplaying the attack, calling it very limited, and Israeli government and military officials not talking about it at all.
Overnight, a senior U.S. official telling ABC News Israel firing back at Iran. Video posted online showing air defense weapons fired over Isfahan. The first reports of explosions in two locations in Iran just before sunrise. Iranian state media reporting a drone attack near Isfahan, which houses military bases and research and development sites. The International Atomic Energy Association confirming there was no damage to Iranian nuclear sites in the city. And there were no reports of casualties. Overnight flights to Tehran, Isfahan, and Shrian were suspended but have since resumed, and Iranian media soon switching to showing video of business as usual in Isfahan. Syrian state media also reporting that Israel targeted its air defenses in the country's south. For days, Israel, which has not taken credit for the explosions, weighed its response to Iran's attack Saturday when more than 300 drones and missiles were launched towards several targets throughout Israel, the vast majority of them intercepted. This morning, Iran not blaming Israel directly, saying infiltrators were behind the attack.
And it's one reason Iran is now hinting that there will be no reprisal. And it doesn't seem that Israel at this point is expecting one. Its home front command issuing no new guidelines to civilians ahead of a very busy holiday weekend here. And we should note that that massive missile salvo from Iran last Saturday, Iran saying that was in response to an Israeli airstrike in Damascus that killed multiple Iranian commanders earlier this month.
So just keeping you guys informed on what's going on. Also on top of that, if you remember, I just did a video, I believe it was either yesterday or the day before, where Biden basically said his advice to Israel was to not retaliate. And they literally asked him at a press conference and they said, what do you think about the chances of them to retaliate? What would you advise them? And he said, don't. And then Israel went ahead and they did it anyway. But we're going to continue to fund Israel. We're going to continue to fund Ukraine. We're going to continue to fund Taiwan. We're going to continue to be a part of these proxy wars. It's all money. It's all politics. It doesn't necessarily benefit you, but you know, we pick and choose the places that we want to support. Meanwhile, Sudan is over there suffering. 10,000 people a day is dying and don't nobody care, but because I guess there's no money to be made over there.